like to know if she could put on Vaseline on her garment.
Valprin, Tofshinayin, hey.
After the last Siyum HaShas in Tov Shinayin Beis, the Mashgiach of Lakewood, of Matizyo Shia Bari, said the following Maimah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos at the beginning, Shimon HaTzadik Hoya Mishiyorei Knesses HaGdoyla Hu Hoya Oimer Al Shoish HaDvorim Ho'olam Oimeid Al HaToiro Ve'al Avoido Ve'al-Gemilus Chasodim. He explained that Rabbeinu Yoino points out this is different from the end of the Peirik, a maimer of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, al shlosh advoim ha'olam kayeng, al emes va'adin va'asholim. The difference he explained is as follows. When the Torah, when the Mishnah says the words Al Shlosh Advoim Ha'olam Oimeid, says Rabbeinu Yonah, these three are the expectations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mankind. They're the blueprint. They're the code of practice, what Hashem expects from us. He anticipates that we will be mashlim ourselves in Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Hasodim. Al Hashlosh Advoim Ha'olam Kayim, that's the maintenance of the world. But as far as mankind goes, they are duty-bound to take on these three attributes or qualities and work on them for 120 years. He then said, after the Siyum HaShas, it's apparent, almost like a spiritual appraisal he gave. What is the state of the nation? What does Klal Yisrael look like now? He said that after the Siyum HaShas, it's apparent that there has been a renaissance in Torah. Many thousands have been brought into the Beis HaMedrash, Daf HaYomi, and Torah has become a major, major pursuit of many. Kollelim, seminars, Beis Yaakov, Chadorim, schools. Torah has had literally a renaissance. I once went into a bookstore and asked for a certain sefer, a new sefer, and the Moichas Sforim turned around and said to me, did you know there's a new sefer every day? There's been like a plethora of Torah literature. The number of places are limited. The competition is hard, getting in. Places are packed. Of course, it would be much better if we would put aside all these electronic toys and discard them as much as we can, but nevertheless, there has been an enormous reformation in Torah. He then said, as far as Chesed, projects like Bikur Cholim, Hachnosas Kala, and Gemachim have become something like major league projects for communities. Communities set up funds, Chevra Kedisha, people volunteer at their own cost. Communities have lists for hospitality and entertaining. Chesed has been taken on almost like a cherished heirloom from Avraham Avinu. Says the Pasuk, Nedivei Amim Ne'esofu, Am Elokei Avraham. Who is, says the Zohar, what is the trait of Avraham Avinu? Nedive Yamim Nesofu, a Nedive slave, a generous heart. Unquestionably, the more sensitivity, the better. The more Noiseba oil, the more awareness, of course it would be better. But there's no doubt that Chesed and Gemilas Chasodim has become a major, major project in many communities. He then turned around and said that tefillah is weak. As they say, there's naught to sell the mind's construction in the face. You can't tell how a person is davening. It's something completely subjective. But from his very high spiritual perch, very high, one of the Einei Ha'eda, no question, in America, what he has taken over in his shiurim, with a tremendous chokhmah, bina, and das in Chazal, and his exceptional perceptive eye, and a lave mole ava for Klal Yisrael, he said as follows, and that's where people were shaken up a tremendous amount in Lakewood. He said that it could be that because we haven't been mashlim ourselves in Avodas HaTefillah, that could be the ikuv of Mashiach and Binyan HaBayis. And people walked away shocked because they felt in some way that they had achieved in Torah and Chesed, but he said it could be that the Avodas HaTefillah is lacking. That's not enough, and it hasn't been taken to a point of renaissance, to a point of reformation. From my very low spiritual perch, from a purely a layman's perspective, I would like to offer my own understanding of what Rebbe Lisyol had said. For sure, when it comes to the avoider of tefillah, and the efforts that people make in tefillah, there's no question that people come into a shul and people try and people make great efforts in tefillah. But there is a certain link which perhaps we're missing, and that link is crucial. Since Rav Matisyo had said that perhaps the Binyan HaBayis is held up by our avoider in tefillah, then that link is a critical link to understand that if we would be mashlim more in tefillah, then we would be zoichem more in tefillah, meaning to stand in the Mokom HaMikdosh and pray there. There's a very critical link there. In reality, it's a nevuah. Hoshea was evacuated to Bovel. He was one of the last of the Nevi'im Achroinim. And on his way out, he gave the following chizuk, which was literally a tremendous inspiration for Klal Yisrael. Unashalma forim sifsoisenu. That the words of prayer complement and make up for the bulls, for the korbanos, for the sacrifices. Meaning, if we can mashlim as much as possible that connection between the avoidos of the Beis HaMikdash and our tefillah, then perhaps that's where the reformation of prayer will really come about. Unashalma forim sefaseinu. If that's what the Novi said, that there is a possibility of replacing, almost as a replica in prayer, through the through prayer from the korbanos, there's a link which has to be made. There is a magnificent song. I think it's by Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi. Bilvovi mishkoin evne lahadal kvoidoi uva mishkan mizbeach osim.
Tomid ekach li es eish
hora keido ulekorban akriv li es nafshi hayechido. Meaning that when a person davens, he's a virtual kohen. He mounts the altar and he builds a mizbeach. It's inside the lave. The lave is a mokum of kedusha. And when you make an offering in prayer, you're not the kohen on the mizbeach, but clearly from the words, my nefesh becomes the korban. Rashi and the Radak in Hoshea, Perek Yud Daled, both explain it means much more than just a token thought. Lemaisa, al pi halacha, Mishnah Berurah brings down in Tzadik Daled that when a person daven Shemona Esrei, he must imagine that he's actually standing B'Kodesh HaKadoshim. Already you see, it's not such a poignant poetry here. It's actually a reality that standing there is as if you're in. You need a very vivid imagination that you're standing in the Mokom HaMikdosh, the Akriv Es Nafshi HaYechido. But Rashi goes much further, and so does the Radak. And they explain that in all aspects, not just a thought before Shemona Esrei, but the whole avoida of tefillah is a comprehensive replica of the avoida in the Azorah, in the courtyard. It means like this, that everything that happened in the courtyard is by no means an ancient ritual. It is actually a blueprint for prayer. I'd like to give four examples. There are many more, but I chose four. Here's the first. The Rambam in Beis HaBechira, in Perek Ches, brings down the following scene that happened every morning before dawn. The Memuna went down to the Beis HaMoiked, where the Kohanim slept, knocked on the door, and received the keys to open the door, says the Rambam, from the Beis HaMoiked to go up to the Azorah. When he went up and opened the door, he was followed, says the Rambam, by two teams of Kohanim. They searched the whole courtyard. It was locked at night. They searched everywhere to check that it was clean and everything was in place. They then met at the Mokom of the Chavitin, the Mokom of the Beis Chavitin, and they turned around and said to each other, Shalom, Hakol Shalom. Then you begin, Abaye Hava Masada, Seida Amorocha, Mishmei Da Gemorah, you begin the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, and the Avoda began. But the word Shalom, we know from the Gemara in Brachos, means his name. Shalom is his name. So there's an allusion here of Shalom HaKol Shalom, that his presence is there. In the Azorah, in the courtyard, all it meant was that everything is clean and in place. But perhaps there's something much more important in the concept of Unashama Forim Sefaseinu, which we're missing. The floor of a Beis HaKnesses is far more versatile and far more broader in its aspect than the courtyard. The courtyard was only for Kohanim, and they had to check that all was clean and in place. But when you walk into a shul, you have old and young. You have rabbonim and businessmen. You have professionals and laymen. You have everybody coming to meet. They come to pray. They come to daven. But one second, before they daven and after they daven. Can you imagine what would happen if before any davening could start in the morning, the gabbai would turn round and inquire from everybody, Shalom, Hakol Shalom. Can you imagine what the Shechina would do? B'mokom shel minyan, ba'adas keil. He would be standing at the door. He would embrace you as you walk in. He would show you to your place, and he would stand next to you and wait. Ki ato shomea tfilas amcho Yisrael berachamim. He would turn around and say to his famalio shomalio, Bonai chavivai, sheoiskim bechet v'sodi li, there's shalom in the machane. Can you imagine if the gabbai would check before davening, there's no taina, there's no katoto, there's no machloikis, there's no grievance, there's no taina. Shalom, hakol shalom, in this shul, before you start davening, there would be an unbelievable reception of the tefillah in Shamayim, no question. We could take it even further. In reality, all you were checking in the Azora was the physical suitability, that it was clean and everything in place. And that, as we know, aroused Shalom Hakol Shalom. But when you stand and talk, it's far greater in sensitivity than it is a physical act. Much more. There's far more emotion here. And therefore, of course, it must be tidy and clean and masudar. Of course, the comparison does not go all the way. We're not mechuyev to wear the begodim. We can wear shoes. The zmanim are much more free than in the Azor. Rabbi Yerucham has a whole maimer that you can never bring a kolben if you do a mezid. But by tefillah, you can even be a posheya and talk to him. By a kolben, you can only do it in one place. You can be on top of a skyscraper in Hong Kong, and you can talk to him. So it's not identical, the match, but nevertheless, the unushalma forim sefoseinu is there in our prayers. If we would only check before we started, shalom, hakol shalom. Here's a second comparison, an imaginary comparison, but try this. Everything that was done in the Azora, in the courtyard, had a very strict rule of order and precision. Never ever could a Kohen ever any way differentiate or change the order to the millimeter. The Zerikas Hadom, the Mokom Hashchita, a stain on the cloth, it was phenomenally immaculate and precise and accurate. Everything had to be done with superb precision. The question you might ask is, but where did the yozma, where did the initiative of any kohen ever come out? It could never be in a physical act. It was never possible for him to change anything. And if he did, the avodah was psula. Perhaps there's a lesson in that for our tefillah. There's no room whatsoever in prayer, if we're going to use the principle unushalma forim sefaseinu, there's no room whatsoever for a physical quirk or innovative shoku or a strange dress. It was completely forbidden in the Azora. You couldn't choose how to stand, or you had to follow the code in the Azora. So where did the individuality and the creativity of a Kohen come out? It came out in one way, in thought. His devotion at the time of fulfilling the act for the few minutes he was on the courtyard. Unashama forim sefoseinu. The real professional and expertise in prayer does not come about from screaming and shouting. It does not come from what you're wearing or the gold on your talus, or the type of shokel, whether you stand still, or it doesn't make any difference. One thing counts, and that is the mind, the devekus in the heart. If we really follow the principle of unashalma, a kohen could never change. Therefore, we can never change in a physical way, but in a mental, devekus, devoted way, that is the way it counts. Expertise and skill in prayer comes from saying the words with full understanding and as much depth of comprehension as you can, but not more, not more, not less. That is unashama forim sefothein. Take a third area of comparison. The Rambam, in the beginning of Bias HaMikdash, explains that there were 3 mitzvahs asei and 13 mitzvahs lois asei in order for Kohen to act in the courtyard. For example, if he was shikha, if he was drunk, if he was tomei, if he was unclean, if he had any sort of mum, physical, on the eye, on the arm, even a mum on a mishpacha, any blemish would make him invalid if he didn't wash his hands and his feet at the same time. The laws were very, very arduous. The Rambam brings down, that is the reason why Beis Din HaGadol sat in the Lishkat HaGozis right next to the courtyard. Says the Rambam, most of the avoider of the Beis Din was checking up on a kohen if he was a psul or a kosher. There were numerous dinim of mumim, numerous. And the Beis Din would check up. The kohen that was suitable wore white. The kohen that was unsuitable wore black. And the laws were strict as can be. Not more than the clothes, not less than the clothes. And on that basis, the kohen would then enter the courtyard. But 1 minute, with all the supervision and all the inspection and all the checking, at the end of the day, one thing counted, and that was the integrity of the kohen. Reb Shlomo Feifeld, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, used to tell his Talmidim the famous lines, "This above all, to thine own self be true, and as must follow the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man." Personal integrity was the most important of all. Working in the Azorah was highly prestigious. It was the greatest honor in Klal Yisrael. But at the end of the day, it was the Kohen at the job, at the assignment, and he had to do it properly. And if he switched, it was possible. If he had a stain, it was invalid. If he ever, at any time, was Oved Avodah Zorah, even by accident, he was possible. If he worked with the left hand and he was right-handed, it was possible. If he didn't wash exactly right, how he had to do it, right with the hands and the feet, the Avodah was possible. If he was thinking of Reuven Grossman to do the Avodah, and it was really Shimon Grossman, the Avodah was possible. He had to be personally full of integrity in order to do the Avodah. With all the checking, when he entered the Azorah for the few minutes, it was all up to him. The greatest role model that we have in prayer was Chana. Now, Maisa, just as a side point, the Rav mentioned this morning that the highest level of Avelus in the Mikdash is the Tzar of the Shechina. In reality, Chazal learned out that Hispalel al Hashem. Every time Chana ever davened, she always davened for and on behalf of the Shechina. Extremely high level in prayer. The Rav had mentioned it's a very high madrega for Kvoid Shamayim. Anshei Knesset HaGdoila gave us 1 day in the whole year to daven like that. On Rosh Hashanah, we daven for and on behalf of Malchus Shamayim. It's a very high madrega. That was Chana. Just what the Rav had mentioned this morning. But there's a Chazal, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Lamed Bes, learns out that Chana kept on saying the word Amosecho. Says the Gemara, inside the word Amosecho, your handmaid, is the word mace. Says the Gemara, there are three bitke misa, loyalenu, for a woman. When she's in a time of danger or in a certain predicament, in based in Shalmala, they look at her, and if she was careless with nida, chala, or hadlokas haner, then she could be chayav. Chana turned round and said, I was never faulty in one. Ten liben. We learn from that tefillah requires a cheshbon hanefesh, integrity. You can't smoke 100 cigarettes a day and then turn around and say, well, for Enu Hashem b'nei rofe. I know of a couple who once went to a rav who had problems in Sholem Bayis. And the rav turned around to the couple and said to them, listen, before we even start, before I talk to you, you must understand you cannot scream and shout at each other. If you don't have the personal integrity to start, it won't begin. Chana davened with a cheshbon hanefesh beforehand. I once learned this lesson myself personally. We were doing shiputzim in an apartment. We wanted to put things together in a different way. And friends told us to use a certain architect. He's very good, they told us. He came to the house and I was really immediately, I didn't want him. He was a confirmed total chiloni. I could see he had no connection to Torah mitzvahs. I'll give the work to a form person, to a person who's Shomer Shabbos. We went back to the friends. I said, no, take him. He's very good. Well, it's the first time we'd ever done renovations. So we took him. And I regretted it immensely. He used to come into the house on Friday and say, oh, it's Shabbat today. I love taking my angel's bread and sitting watching a movie on Friday night. He used to say things like, Yom Kippur is a wonderful day because I take the car down to the beach and run around along the beach with the roads are empty. He used to say things and I really felt he was shtecking me. And it was a terrible match. Eventually I came to the conclusion that maybe he never ever had an opportunity to learn Torah. So I turned around to him and I said to him, his name was Aryeh, Aryeh, you never had a chance. If you'd like, we can sit and learn. I didn't even finish the words, Torah. He said, Yonason, leave off. I'm not interested. Not interested. He turned up to the house. He was looking like as black as thunder. He was unbelievably angry, I could see. I said, Aryeh, come in, sit down. What's happened? He said, I have the most terrible news to tell you. I said, what is it? He said, I just spoke to my daughter in Texas. She turned around and said to me, I'm marrying a goy. So I looked at him. I wanted to hear. I said to him, what's so bad about that? What is it? He looked at me and he roared at me. He said, what do you mean, marrying out? I said, what's so terrible? He turned around and said to me, you don't understand. I came to Israel and I wanted to be like Abraham, the founding father. And I wanted all my family to come over here and be like Abraham. But now that she's married a non-Jew, what chance do I have? I thought to myself, Ibn Shalayla, where's he coming from? Oysa Maisa Zimri Umavakshim Shak Pinchas. Ma'amaze. Where's the integrity? If you don't want to know, then how can you be an Abraham? You can't be an Abraham if you don't come in with clean hands. That's perhaps what Chana teaches us by the words Amosech. Uneshalma forim sefoseinu. That if we're going to learn the integrity of a Kohen to a person who davens, then the lesson is, as much as possible, to be truthful to thine own self. Of course, it does not mean, under any circumstances, that you have to be a tzaddik in order to daven. Says the pasuk, Korev Hashem l'chol koyva'ov, l'chol asher yikra'u be'emes. Says the Gemara, Yochol la'koil, l'chol asher yikra'u be'emes. A kriya be'emes is a kriya be'kavona. Ze maspik. You don't have to be the tzaddik yisoid olam, but at least it shouldn't be a mindless rattle. But the words should be internalized, like the Kohen who was doing the Avodah, so also here it needs integrity to a certain degree. The last point of Unashalma, perhaps, is the following. Even the most inspirational and motivational act can become completely mundane and routine if it's done all the time. The French call it déjà vu. I've seen and heard it all before. I've done it so many times, I know all about it. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a certain security code. The Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Mem Vov, that never when you come to Ha'abayis can you leave, enter and leave from the same door. You must always go out another door. Why? So that the doors and the walls of the Beis HaMikdash should not appear to be like your home. It should be different. Chazal explained that even the Kohen Gadol, who went in once a year, needed 7 days of Prisha in order to go in so that it should be something new, something different. A Kohen who went into the Avodah, he also might have suffered from deja vu to some extent. But if you think about it, it was rare. He had 1 week in the year, according to his Mishmar, and even then, every day there were 4 piyusim. There were 4 lotteries every time. So even if he came in the 1 week, the chances of actually working there were quite remote of what he would do, because he might not get through in the pious and the pious. And even when he went on, he wore certain clothing. And every time he went there, he had to wash his hands before, every time the raglaim. And noch weiter, the Chazal say the Kohenim Rotzim Zrizim Heim. So it was rare, perhaps, that a Kohen suffered from deja vu. We say the same Shemone Esrei, Rav Dessler writes the Michtav Melio over and over again. But how can we be Mashlim Sefoseinu? How can we be similar to the Avodah and the Azorah? In what way? There's one golden rule, and I learned it from the Rav Eliashiv. There was a bocher in the Mir who wanted to stay and learn, and he had enormous problems with his parents. To such an degree, they insisted that he comes back and goes to law school. And he wanted to stay and learn. And we went to the Rav together, because every time he ever spoke to his parents, there was always an explosion which was impossible. He screamed, they screamed, it was no way that he could talk. And we asked the Rav, so what do we do? And the Rav looked at us and said, almost Dvorim Pshutim. He told the Bacher, before you pick up the phone, say a Yehi Rotzayin, Shani Rotzayin Lekayim Et HaMitzvah Shel Kibud Av Va'Em. Then talk to them, and you'll see, you'll have Siyata Dishmaya. The golden rule in anything to do with Ruchnias or a mitzvah, you need a thought, a forethought. You need to think before. It doesn't work automatically. It becomes deja vu. It needs thought beforehand of what I'm doing. With a prayer as well. That's the whole Hineni Mucha Namuzuma Nekayim. That's what it means. It never works because it's so habitual and it's so routine. If you don't have the second or the minute's thought, it won't work. That bocha in the Mir is still in Kollel. After 15 years, I think, in the Mir, he had unbelievable Siyata Dishmaya. His father turned round, it became a mitzvah in talking to them. He had the thought beforehand, and that changed the whole way of the conversation. He had Siyata Dishmaya. That's what we need before we come to Davin. You did not walk into Big. You did not walk into the terminal at Ben-Gurion. You did not walk into a skyscraper in Manhattan. You did not. You walked into a mokum of the Shechina. And that's what those 5 psukim are doing there beforehand. Those 5 psukim, which actually have 42 words in it, which is the Shem HaMefarash, he actually accompanies you in as you walk in. And therefore, If you have the thought beforehand, it can switch. The same enthusiasm that the Kohenim had can come out in the prayer as well. I learned from the minyan of Rav Shlomo Brevda, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the one I mentioned beforehand this morning, that I used to daven in his minyan. It was very spirited. It was very lively. It was not an incoherent mumble. It had life. It had enthusiasm to the davening. That removes deja vu, the excitement. Not necessarily the so loud, but just the liveliness of the prayer can perhaps put us back as a Kohen running. He ran. We talk. But when the talk is lively, like the Kohen running, then it can be Unashama Forim Sofoseinu. But perhaps these four case studies, Shalom Hakol Shalom, the order and the precision, to thine own self be true, and deja vu, which are four, which I took, perhaps there's even more than that inside the words Unashama Forim Sofoseinu. Those four are an imaginary fantasy. You think of the four, and you think of the Kohanim, but it might be a stark reality, and not just something in your imagination. It might be much, much more than you ever realized. The Chassam Sofer was asked a question about a shul who were doing renovations, and they wanted to move the bima to the front. And the Rav, the Chassam Sofer, turned around and said, no, you can't move it. It has to stay in the middle. Because the bima, where you lay in, is a replica of the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, which was in the middle. That's what you find in many shuls. There were steps going up, like there was a ramp going up to the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. One of the reasons that halacha, that's why we circuit around with the lulav, like they did in the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, in the Azor. The bima itself is a reminder that there was a Mizbeach Nechoshes. The son of the Chassam Sofer, Reb Shimon, has a tshuva, the Ksav Sofer, and he takes his father's points even further. A long tshuva in Ksav Sofer Chelek Beis, in the tshuvas, he explains that the entrance lobby outside is similar to the Ezras Noshim and the 15 steps coming in. If I remember correctly, that's the reason why in the Bells Beis HaMedrash in Ramema, I think you have 15 steps coming up to the shul there. They made it so that you'll feel you're walking into the Azor. The menorah was bedafka put in Chanukah time on the south wall, where the menorah was, besad droimi. The amud, where the chazan stands, is nimshal lemizbeach haktoyres. He says that's the reason why we say in Kuf Mem Beis, tikoin tefilosi ketoyres lefonecho. That mokum, where you have tefillah, is nimshal lektoyres. The chazan is doimel lekoyin gadol. It's not enough just to be a cantor with a melodious voice. He needs to understand every word, and he has to have in mind, in his heart, every person standing in the shul. The chazan is a kohen gadol. Says Reb Shimon, always, nearly always, there were two walls which come out at the front on the mizrach wall. The two walls are the keneged, the shnei badim, and in between is nimshalu lekodesh kadoshim, the oroin. If you take that case study to its nth degree, walking into a shul is never going to be the same again. People think that the shul is made up with a beautiful veneer, maybe dedicated le'ilui nishmas, someone who died. Maybe the paroiches or the Oren Kodesh was given over le'ilui nishmasai. You didn't get the whole story. You walked into the Azor. Every corner, every chair whispers the words, do you know who came in with you? Are you aware of who is in the minyan? It's a mokum of the Shechina, and there's a Mizbeach Nechoshes, with Amud Ketoyes, with the Badim, with the Ezos. Not everything is there. It's not such an enormous avoider, but you actually can see in front of you the Azor. So you move from the case study of the imagination to seeing in front of you, literally, all these points which remind you of the Azor. If we can really take that to heart and understand those points, then the words of David HaMelech, who never actually saw a Beis HaMikdash, maybe that's why he said the words, Somachti ba'oimrim li Beis Hashem Neilech. He had simcha to go to that, but he never walked in, because he never saw the Beis Hashem. But his simcha was because he was aware of what it really is. And that's why, maybe that's what it means in the words of this peruk. Al naraz bobel, shom yoshavnu, gam bochinu b'zochreinu es tzion. The Levim were in enormous disgrace. They were taken out in chains and taken to sit by the banks of the river by Bovel. Said Nebuchadnezzar, Shiru lanu mishir tzion. It's said that the Hanging Gardens of Babylon are supposed to be the most beautiful sight in the world. So he sneered and he scorned and he said, so I have like an orchestra on tour. I can use these Levim and they can play a nice tune to me from Shir Tzion. Let's hear something. After all, you're supposed to be so talented in music, just to complete the scene. No way. Eich noshir eshir Hashem alad masnecho. You're telling us about physical beauty. Where we come from, we saw the most phenomenal, ethereal beauty. Me igra romo lebira amikta. You want us to sing? Immediately and spontaneously, they turned around and said the following shvua, which has 3 points in it. Imesh kocheif Yerushalayim Tishkach Yamini. Say Chazal, Shikha is Balev. Tidbak Lashoimi Lachiki Imoyes Karechi. My tongue should stick to the palate if I don't keep on talking about you. That's in speech. Imlo Ales Yerushalayim Al Roish Simchosi is in action. But perhaps, now that we have those two case studies of Unasham Mafoim Sefoseinu, these words have much more meaning. Imesh kocheich Yerushalayim. If I ever forget the thousands of Korban Pesach, thousands, the Gemara in Tobin Nishrat said that Agrippas wanted to find out, and he counted over 1,200,000, thousands of Korban Pesach, no dam on their tunic, nothing spilt. The speed of the way they did it. If I recall the scenes of Yerushalayim, of Yom Kippur, the Hakoy Hanim, they heard the name and they all fell flat on the ground. There was no room. There was room for everybody. The enormous simcha, if I recall, of the simchas beis hashareva, of the kohenim jumping up and down, of the tamidei chachamim dancing. If I bring those imesh kocheich Yerushalayim, if I ever forget you, the daily scenes every day, the music of the levim. Every day the Gemara brings down in Yuma, Daf Kof Aleph, that the kohen would come out with yesterday's kelim, drop them on the floor, and all the shards, all the clay cheres, would vanish in the ground every single day. It was a stormy day on Har HaBayis. The smoke went up straight. If I recall all those scenes, the question is, what do I do with them in the archives of my mind? What do I do with those scenes? If I treat them as just ancient ritual, then you may as well just have an interesting evening with the historical society, with color slides of what happened in the Mikdash. But if you really understand the concept of Unashalma Forim Sefoseini, these scenes jog you to recall Shalom, Hakol Shalom. If you really think of the scenes, they remind you of the order and the precision. If you really think of them, then you can be as honest and as sincere in prayer. And there's no deja vu, because in the archives of your mind, they awaken up the scenes of Yerushalayim to such a degree, Tishkach Yamini, the right hand is the most proficient, is the most strongest. If you have these thoughts in your mind, then you'll become an expert and retain your expertise in prayer. You won't lose your right hand. The Yamin is my proficiency. You'll keep your proficiency if you're able to recall these scenes. Tidbak L'shoini L'chiki means that it does not just mean a beautiful song, Yerushalayim Shel Zahav, an enchanting melody where you talk about the golden scenes and the stones of Zelomaspik. When you say the words, Yerushalayim Ircho Barachamim Toshav, it means, if only I could sit with my father at the table. The moshul of Shesamchu al Shulchan Avinu. We sat together and shared a meal. He took his chelek and we took ours. Sitting at a table with a father is the most endearing, indulging scene. I sat with Abba at the table. That's what it means. And let me see it. V'sechazeno einenu v'shuvacha letzion. Let me see it. When you say Uvenei Yerushalayim over and over again in benching, Berachamim, when you say those words, it means that the meager diet of what I ate, that's not enough. Just putting food in my mouth, it's not everything. The spiritual nourishment. And that's why I say Uvenei Yerushalayim, Bnei Beracham of Yerushalayim Amen. That's why I say it, because just the food is not enough. The spiritual nourishment which I'm missing. When you turn now to an Ovel and you say, the Soch Sha'ar Aveli Tzion B'Yerushalayim, it means we're all mourning in it. It's continually on my tongue. I keep on talking about it all the time. Before Chosen and Kala, their happiest moments in the world, in their life, you don't let them leave. Stay a minute. Let's start saying, Imeshkacheich Yerushalayim. It's on my tongue all the time. I keep on talking about it. And therefore, it means more to me. That's what the Rav was referring to this morning. I think about Kovet Shomayim. It's on my mind. We think that just means that when a chosen gets married, you put ash on his head. Or you leave a square box on your ceiling, on your wall. It's much more than that. It means walking into a shul. I just walked in to the Azorah. And that's the meaning of the bima in the middle. And that's the meaning of the amud, where the chazan stands. And that's the enormous, enormous chus of the chazan. And the Aron Kodesh is the Kodesh Kadoshim. Im lo ale is Yerushalayim means when I walk in to the shul, I walked into the Azor. If that's the case, maybe David HaMelech would allow us to change the words. Not im eshkocheich Yerushalayim, eich eshkocheich Yerushalayim. How can I possibly forget you, Yerushalayim? How can I forget you? In my thoughts, in my speech, and in my action. When I walk into a shul, I see the courtyard in front of me. When I stand in prayer, I think, Halavai, Sholem, Akol, Sholem. There's no room for deja vu. I said the words yet, but it doesn't matter. Because with a spirit, with a liveliness, it can come back. Eich eshkocheich Yerushalayim. How can I possibly forget you, Yerushalayim? I can't forget you. You're inside me. That's why the Levim said spontaneously, Eich noshir asher. How can we possibly sing here? It's not shaykh to sing in such a place. Where we come from, what we did. But the point is like this. The privilege of walking into a shul is unsurpassed. No parallel to it. To stand there in front of the Kodesh Kodoshim and to stand there and to ask for all our requests and all our needs. Eich eshkacheich Yerushalayim. How can it possibly be? Ulekorban akriv loy es nafshi hayachido. I'm the korban. The chinuch brings down quite poshut. I'm the korban. It's my words. And the ol avoido is as if I'm the korban. Quite poshut, quite clearly in the chinuch. Eich eshkocheich Yerushalayim. At least one day we should try and recall the visual images and the stark reality of what a shul really is. Then perhaps that's what Matisyahu meant, that there could be a renaissance in prayer. There could be such a change that if in his eyes, from his very high spiritual perch, he saw with his great perception, the Einei Ha'eda, that there is something lacking. But the Novi Yoshia, Hoshea, told us, you should know, Unashal Mothoim Sefoseinu, the link is critical. The need is urgent. The privilege is unsurpassed. Maybe that's where our tikkun lies. Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha V'Noshuvu Chadesh Yomeinu Kekedem.